if you're interested in this retreat, I recommend that you look at the images and read the actual retreat text. The reason for giving the retreat that title, which has two key concepts, one being rapture and the other being sacrifice, is because I have been dipping again into the ancient texts, including the Vedas. And these are texts that are really thousands of years old, and before they were written, they were orally transmitted. They have a tremendous amount of information that has not percolated up into later versions of spiritual understanding. They contain a lot more information, for example, than Hermeticism or alchemy or any of the other esoteric traditions, with a few exceptions in which some of that information has been restored by a few very powerful sages who were given the task of renewing that understanding, but very few and far between. And the key to the ancient understanding, and remember, in the ancient world, they all the cultures understood that time is circular rather than linear. It is infinite because a circle never ends, and there's ultimately no first point, no last point, but there is an omega point, as Teilhard de Chardin made famous, but that is also the alpha point of the next age, the next world cycle. And although it stops for a moment for the return of the space-time continuum into the eternal pleroma of the absolute light that we call the singularity, because it's in eternity and not in time, there doesn't seem from the plane of Chronos, which is linear time that you feel unfolds in successions of moments, there isn't any time out because there's no memory of it. And so the wheel continues to turn. We are at that moment when the ancient wisdom both prophesied that it would happen, and in the Vedas wrote about the last time it happened, because the sages who conveyed that information were still in the consciousness that was aware of that moment, and could bring the nuances of significance of the key to passing through the eye of the needle, to use another metaphor, from Kali Yuga and the limited finite consciousness of ego into the liberated state of the Godhead, and then to have the choice to pass into the next cycle. But the next cycle being a new Satyuga in which all the beings are in their full avataric mode of consciousness, in total resonance with God consciousness, and with all the powers and levels of command over matter, if you will, because there is no matter really, but of the forms that appear and disappear in the phenomenal plane to manifest at will, okay? So those, being able to pass through with continuity of consciousness is the key. And the key to doing that is contained in the accomplishment of the great sacrifice. So that great sacrifice is of two levels. One is the sacrifice of God, of his own body, the body of God, which in the Vedas is referred to as Mahapurusha, is itself sacrificed, but it has to be met by and resonated with by a sacrifice made by the human yogi who wishes to achieve union with that absolute self. And so which in a way Kali Yuga can be thought of as having two bookends. The Vedas on one end and the crucifixion of Christ on the other. Because that sacrifice, which is God's sacrifice as well, that sacrifice is for redemption. The first is for creation. But creation and redemption, although they seem to take place at two ends of time, actually, of course, happen at the same moment. And so it's the bringing together of these two levels of sacrifice, one of which seems more about death and loss and destruction as the crucifixion, the passion of Christ, as it's called, but really it is in order to become risen back into the light and the bliss and the full empowerment of the God self from that condition of kenosis or having been emptied out of the fullness of the Godhead to be finally again returned to that absolute nature from which we have strayed or which we have forgotten and gone through this this long journey into the dark night of the soul and back to the light. So the sacrifice brings the rapture. And what is rapture? It is the state of ecstasy. It's not to be understood as fundamentalist Christians do, that you will be bodily lifted into the sky. It's not that. And it's not that your ghostly presence will come out of the grave if you've already died and rise. No, but there will be an ecstatic release of all identification with the material vehicle and even the soul vehicle and the return to the absolute supreme light. And the ecstatic bliss of that liberation from the finite into the infinite is what is celebrated. So we have the yajna, the sacrificial act, and all of Hinduism is based on the repetition of that original sacrificial act. The word yajna is a sacrificial fire, right? But that sacrificial fire is a microcosmic representation of the final holocaust, of the end of the world that is also a sacrifice that brings about a new beginning. So we have the yajna on one end and the Eucharist on the other. Now, all of the religions have their own forms of sacrifice. In Islam, of course, jihad, martyrdom, the sacrifice for the vision of the Mohammedan reality is there, and there is sacrifice involved in every religious tradition. Even just obeying the dharma of any religious institution or creed or approach to morality and ethics, it requires a sacrifice. But what we're talking about is a much higher ultimate level of sacrifice. And when you are in resonance and have accomplished that, then the rapture includes that return to the intelligence and the creative capacity to manifest a new world of complete divine beauty. So this is that moment in which the horror becomes the beauty and the darkness turns to light and all is transformed as a result of the work of those who have the courage to undergo the sacrificial act and complete it. And that's really what Satyoga is about. So I think that hopefully answers the question and the reason for the retreat's theme and the recipe that will be offered, and hopefully we will actually perform the sacrifice during the retreat for those who are ready for that sacred event.